In the criminal podcast system, the listeners are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the killers who commit the crimes, and podcast hosts who investigate these cases under the influence of wine. These are their stories. Whoop, whoop. Mother Fluffers, Jimmy here.
When did you start saying Mother Fluffers?
End of season one.
End of season one.
It's been a while, but welcome, guys. Jimmy.
Alice.
And this is the Ignore 2 podcast. We're still terrible at intros, but
we're trying. We're about to be terrible at editing too, so apologies.
So, guys, this is just kind of if you haven't listened to part one last week, please go back and listen to it. We are back down in Tom and Brendan's farm in Braidwood. We're regaling you with a story. This is kind of just like a bit of a hey.
Hey, we know we were on a few tangents last episode. This one we're a few bottles of wine deep.
Yeah.
So we go on a lot.
A lot more. So we're just kind of giving you a bit of a heads up. We aren't going to make you sit through them, though.
Some of them are 5 minutes long. We talk about how spiders shed their exoskeleton for 5 minutes. So you probably don't need to know that. You know it now, so you don't need
to
know that.
It's literal drunken ramblings of mad people.
Yeah.
It's insane. So
we enjoyed ourselves.
We enjoyed ourselves, but yeah. So when you were doing the editing.
Yeah, so
you won't hear our ramblings, but you will hear.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to fade out what we're saying, have a little rewind noise, and then we'll come back in to a part that's relevant.
Yeah.
I am new to all this stuff, like beeping out the C-bomb and putting in fast forward sound. So please, if it's not as smooth as it should be, forgive me. I am trying. But it should be good. I imagine it's going to be like I'm some kind of epic professional at tuning out rants.
Can't wait. All right. Without further ado, these are their stories. Whoop, whoop.
Previously on Signal 2.
We were introduced to Leonard John Fraser, the bastard fuckwit. He committed numerous sexual assaults throughout his lifetime. In 1999, he killed Kira Steinhardt by stalking her, hitting her over the head, and then dumping her body in a dry creek bed. Four women disappeared since: Julie Turner, 39, Natasha Ryan, 14, Beverly Lego, 36, and Sylvia Bennett, 19. Fuckwit's gonna fuckwit. Brought to you by At Better Homes and... Oh, fuck!
No, it's farmers, doll. Farmers.
Homos, you fool.
Sweet bit. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Better Homes and Farmers.
That's us.
Whoop, whoop, motherfuckers!
I'm Tom.
And I'm Brendan.
And we've been let out of the container.
Welcome,
motherfuckers.
And I'm Jimmy.
I hate that.
Well, fuck.
We had everything.
I think you've joined in the fun. Put me back in the container.
Anyway, welcome back, guys. This is part two of Leonard John Fraser. The, what did you call him? The bastard fuckwit?
The bastard fuckwit.
Decent
the bastard
summary.
Fuckwit of Rockhampton.
Mm. So obviously, Tom and Brendan gave us a beautiful summary. I don't think we'll fuck about here.
Huh.
Not fuck about? We'll get straight into it.
Fuck spiders.
We are not here to fuck spiders. Yes.
Mm.
All right.
It's a very confusing phrase, but yes.
Mm.
Who fucks spiders?
It would be difficult. Anyway, shall we delve back into the very fucked up world of Leonard John Fraser?
Let's shall.
Yes, please.
So we've had the lovely summary from Tom and Brendan.
Mm.
So remember Leonard John Fraser's car, and we found all the evidence of Kira Steinhardt in there.
Yes.
So they decided to compare some of the other forensic samples they had got from that car to the DNA of those four missing girls. They get a match. They get a match to Sylvia Benedetti. Christine, his de facto partner, confirms that Leonard knew Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a derelict hotel called the Queensland Hotel in Rockhampton, and it's getting knocked down. And it's like wreckers obviously need to go inside, do whatever it is that wreckers do to make sure it's, I guess, safe to knock down.
Asbestos, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And it is very much a derelict hotel. It is here they make a discovery in room 13.
Mm.
13 is not lost on me.
Oh.
They find blood literally sprayed everywhere. floors, walls, ceiling, including cast off. So cast off basically happens when, this is a really messed up saying, but when you're hitting someone over the head with, like, let's say a baseball bat, you always say, this is fucked up, but the first hit's for free. So you don't get blood normally on the instrument you're hitting with. Mm-hmm. The second one, though, it collects the blood, and as you lift it back up, it sprays blood in that trajectory. So that's called cast off.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, now, but it makes sense.
Some of the blood looked like it had been wiped on the walls. There was facial bones with tissue still attached and teeth. This blood all matched to Sylvia Benedetti.
Oh, poor.
So while this is happening, so like police, Leonard's in jail, charged but not sentenced. They found the evidence of Sylvia Benedetti within the Queensland Hotel. Leonard meets up within prison to his old friend and cellmate, Alan. At this point, like I said, he's not been sentenced.
Do we know Alan before this?
All right. This is not a friend there
was
we know.
There was another cellmate previously.
Yes, another cellmate. But so not the it same may one. Have been Alan, but they didn't specify.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So he starts saying he's going to try and use the insanity defense to get out of charges because no one wants to be in jail. You want to use the insanity defense, whatever.
Of course.
Anyway, Alan ends up contacting detectives for that, like, because no one wants to, like I said, no one wants to be in jail. So all criminals go in jail. I've received some information about a crime. If I can help police, my sentence might be diminished.
Mm.
It's a legit thing.
Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah.
So he goes and he says, "Oh, look, I've got some details about Kira's murder. I know he's going to plead for insanity, but I've also got some details about Sylvia Benedetti, if you want them." Now, what he gives them is enough to have a general idea of how Leonard John Fraser killed Sylvia Benedetti. So this is how they sort of figure it happened. It's 7:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, April 18, 1999, which is 4 days before Kira goes missing. And Leonard basically offered to sell Sylvia some pot, and he told her it was inside the Queensland Hotel. So she goes there, takes her to room 13. Now, he at this point, we think, tries to make some kind of sexual advance to her. And she's like, fuck off, creep. Like, I came here to buy pot. Give me my pot.
Yeah.
He then loses his shit and then beats her until he kills her.
Fuck.
Once she's dead, he then proceeds to rape her.
Fuck.
Oh. Yeah. So he wraps her head in a towel and moves her to the next room and then returns to try and, like, wipe up the blood. You should see the crime scene photos. He's basically just walked in there and been like, wipe, wipe. Oh, I'm fucking tired. Like, he hasn't even tried. It's a terrible.
But going back to what you said in last episode, Tom, why the fuck would he try? Because he gets away with everything anyway. Like, And he's got away with everything else. Is this the first? This is before Kira, right?
So this is 4 days before Kira.
So is there anything like years before?
We will talk about that.
We will?
In a little bit.
Okay.
In
sorry, a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just, because this is a massive escalation. That's all.
So even though he's tried to wipe off the blood in room 13, he then proceeds to. Yeah, he's disgusting.
Necrophilia.
He then drags her downstairs, leaving a blood trail, and dumps her clothes in a freezer that's filled with water, once again in his way to attempt to get rid of DNA evidence.
Okay.
So like in an old freezer.
Yeah.
He then leaves her. He then leaves her body in the male toilets, and he basically stands her over a drain to let her blood drain out of her body like she was an animal carcass.
Mm.
Yeah. And he left her there until he could get back to dispose of the body.
Sorry, I was just going to ask, like, I know we're talking about a human here, but is there something to be said for that as from, like, a forensics thing? Is that something, because you said in the last episode that he learned a lot from being in jail, from murder and everything.
I think he thinks if he gets rid of the blood, it makes things easier or lighter. I'm not sure. Obviously not a lot of detail
was
gained.
Fair. No, but there must have been something, the reason why he's done that. Like he's, I know last episode I kind of argued, oh, maybe he was smart just in his own way, which I completely retract. But yeah, there's got to be a reason why he did that.
I'm not sure.
And whether he learnt being like, oh, if you drain the blood, I don't know.
I
could that affect like
that.
Bleeding or like forensics with their if you bleed a victim out, you can still figure out whether you hit where you hit them, right?
100%. You're just getting rid of blood. Like you're just getting rid of blood. You're not getting rid of skull.
Yeah.
But could also be brought back to the... I hope I don't sound like a psychopath, but like the excitement, because this is something new. What happens if I do this?
Experimental, no, almost.
I think you're thinking too much into it. He obviously went and was like, oh, I can't be bothered to clean this blood up. And then the body's got blood still coming out of it and everything, so I just leave it at the drain.
Yeah, but to drain it, like,
I can't be bothered to clean the blood, so I'll leave it at the drain. But that's to me, what he's thinking.
If I can't be fucked doing something, I just dispose of the body in a hole.
What is it? Like, the simplest answer is usually the correct one?
Occam's razor.
Occam's razor? Like,
maybe.
Any forensic psychologists out there, give us a hit up.
Occam's razor. I'd love to know. Yeah, shit. That's the thing. We love to overthink these things, thinking like, but like, is it going to tamper with like the bruising patterns, or is it going to be like, oh, blood force through? Fucking Tom over here, nah, just fucking easy.
Just fucking lazy.
But I kind of look back to like the psychopaths who kill animals.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what happens if I do this?
It's very investigative. That's right.
Like, I'm not taking away what Tom's saying.
No, you're right.
But I'm just thinking about, well, now it's like, but what if I try this?
Because what you've been saying is absolutely correct in terms of his MO up until now.
Because I'm a psychopath.
Yeah. That's why we're in a container.
Fucking learned that. That's why we spent time by with now, the fucking Chinese furniture.
It looks Chinese. It's not Chinese furniture.
Fuck you. So anyway, he's left her to drain, and he left her there until he could dispose of the body, so lazy could be. But 3 days later, news breaks that the Queensland Hotel is going to be demolished.
Oh, shit.
So he has to return to retrieve the body. And, like, she's been there for 3 days.
What she's happens in those 3 days, though?
She's decomposing.
Yeah, but, like, to what?
I know. It depends.
I understand we're talking about a real person here, but, like,
what
are we? Because I know that oftentimes you will come home and you'll be like, skin slippage would be one or whatever.
God, I'm trying to drink here.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, so she's.
I'm sure you'll fucking.
She would be starting. She would be bloating. She'd be bloating. Have some skin slippage. It wouldn't be. To move that body, it wouldn't be. But like your face gets all bloated. Your lips get all bloated.
Right.
So, like, she, especially because it's April in sort of like this sort of very tropical area of Queensland.
Yeah, it is very.
So it's humid, it's hot, yeah. She's locked in an area, it's going to increase the speed of decomposition.
Especially in a toilet where you got like tiles and all that. 100%. So he's able to move her quite easily?
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
So he places her in the boot of his red car, leaving a bit of blood on the hinge of the boot door. Her blood is all over the car. And that's including the cigarette papers that Leonard had used, which were in the glove box. Mm. Hard one to explain away, champ. That's something you can't explain that one away.
That is that from his fingers?
It must be from his fingers.
He would have rolled a ciggy.
Imagine how you would drag a body. You'd be fucking covered.
But like, yeah, but me, you would think you would wash your hands.
To me, it'd be interesting to know why he went back to get the body.
Because he knew it was going to be demolished. The
Queensland Hotel was going to...
But like... Not saying that I'm going to often kill someone, but if I was
to... You start too many sentences with this.
He knows in his mind that the DNA stuff lasts 2 weeks and it's only been, what, 3 days?
Yeah, that's right.
But if he needs to go back there.
Because he's raped the body.
But if I was to kill someone and leave him, I'm not going to go back. Like,
he's raped the body.
But I'm interested in knowing why you'd go back. Like, to me, if I was to kill
someone... Because his DNA is at the scene.
But
she's found.
Yeah, but you kind of just... leave, like, wouldn't you? Because my day.
I'm with you on this one. Like, I think to myself, why wouldn't you just leave the body there? Because surely you are. The basis of forensics is that every contact leaves a trace. Whether or not it's detectable is what it is, but every contact leaves a trace. So you're going back and potentially leaving more by taking her body. You're also leaving things like drag marks, footprints, tire marks, potential witnesses.
This is a guy who has a storied history of rape.
Yeah, I'm always interested because I read a lot of crime books, but a lot of the time they commit the crime and then the person who commits it always seems to go back to the scene of the crime.
They like to see what they've done. It's like people who light fires like to go help.
I'm really with Tom. I think it's purely because it's within the 14 days that he thinks
he's... Yeah, you just got to think this is the danger. Basic, right? Yeah.
And basics. So he thinks his DNA is there.
But like, I think it's like...
He's not a smart man.
But it's also interesting. It's weird to say, but it's interesting to know how they think.
Yeah, because, of course.
Like, you know, I threw up on the side, like the other day, I threw up on the side of the road.
So, anyway,
back in the container you go.
Leonard, Leonard's questioned in jail, obviously, about this, and he cracks the shits because
Going back a minute, because we did have a bit of a chat.
Yeah, sorry.
We did. He's questioned about the murder of Sylvia Benedetti in the Queensland Hotel.
That's right. So, yeah, because her blood is
in his car.
On his rolly, in his boot.
Yeah.
Throughout his car, basically.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he cracks the shits because he now knows that Alan's ratted on him. Because the only person he's told all this information to, is Alan. But
the cops didn't find it through Alan.
But he knows certain pieces of information were revealed to Alan.
Oh, okay.
That he'd only told Alan.
Okay.
So he's like, fuck you, Alan. And the police are like, no, fuck you, Leonard John Fraser.
Yeah, right.
You're under arrest and you're getting sentenced to life without parole.
So it's like if I leave the cookie jar out and I say, hey, Tom, I've eaten a cookie, don't tell Alice. But then Alice comes out, finds the cookie jar open, finds crumbs on my fucking moustache. Mm-hmm. You then put two and two together. But then you blame Tom.
Yeah.
So that's basically what's happened here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Wasn't me.
So he gets sentenced anyway.
Okay.
Now
he gets sentenced. Lennon gets sentenced.
He gets sentenced to the murder of Sylvia Benedetti. Fuck right off.
For how long?
Life without parole.
Okay.
Now we are going to move to the post-sentencing for the murder of Kira. So now we're in the post-sentencing stage. And Sylvia, yeah. So we're post-sentencing stage. So now he's in jail for life, so enjoy fuck stick. You can go eat a dick.
Go fuck shit.
Now, in jail, he runs into old mate Alan again, who he, for some reason, quickly forgives and starts blurting shit out. I feel like it's like Natasha loves a good Google search.
We already know that Alan leaks like a sieve. Why would we be telling him more?
And also, like, Natasha Beth Darcy knew that they're getting their Google searches, but she's still like, cyanide. So anyway, and thank goodness some criminals, once again, are as smart as they are stupid. So I'm not even joking when I tell you this. He starts drawing maps of where he's buried the bodies of the four missing girls. I'm talking legit maps with legends.
Wow.
Like actual, like you look at the photo, you can find the photos.
How do you even draw them?
Actual maps. Like I wish in crime scene I could have drawn a map that accurate.
It's like a fucking map. How do you draw a map?
Now you go to Google, drop a pin.
Okay, he's in jail. I don't think he could drop a pin.
Sounds like a him problem.
But as we all know, Leonard loves a red herring. So these maps are a mixture of accurate and inaccurate maps to try and throw police off the trail.
Right.
Alan somehow manages to convince Leonard himself to hand over these maps to police. Which, even if he didn't, Alan's still like, hey, yo, you want some info?
Is Alan like the anti-hero we deserve or don't deserve? I don't know.
We deserve. He's an anti-hero.
We deserve.
What was Alan in for? That's what I think.
Yeah.
Fuck, I went to look this up. I feel like he was in for white collar.
Right.
Oh, we were in for Alan.
Yeah, he was in white collar.
So he's in longer than the murderer.
And I bet it was his boss that actually did the crime. Yeah. And Alan was just in, I mean, probably. Alan's
I could
an
not be.
In my head,
it's either white collar or drug trafficking, which are two very different things.
Different to what the cellmate's in for.
Fraser is, but yeah, it sounds like Alan is the good guy, but he's only looking for his own
benefit. Alan wants out. So
Alan wants out. Who cares? Exactly. And the thing is, like, police will often
get Alan wants out.
Yeah, and police will often get these details, and they're like, I don't know, but the details Alan's providing are so significant and so specific that they can't ignore them.
Yeah.
So a strike force therefore is established to investigate the information. Alan agrees to have the cell bugged he shares with Leonard.
Strike Force Alan.
He also agrees to have like a wire on his person.
Strike Force.
And then, do you want to know one of the reasons why Alan does this? Is so he can write a book about Leonard's sordid criminal history. He fucking has one. It's called The Predator File. I didn't read it because I'm not going to condone that, but he wrote a fucking book about it.
Oh, it should have been the Alan Key to The Predator.
Alan was terrible.
Yes!
Write that down. You heard it here first, everyone.
Allocated predators.
Alan, you suck.
You're welcome, Alan. Fuck ya.
So on the 21st of December, given all the shit's gone down in 2000, Leonard agrees to fly with police to Rockhampton and show them where Julie Turner, Beverly Lego and Sylvia Benedetti are located. Now, they find out that he actually revisited these dump sites on multiple occasions before.
Dump sites, bodies, I don't know.
Yeah, especially odd with Julie Turner because I found she was decomposed and he'd removed the head as well, which was
Jesus Christ.
Very Jeffrey Dahmer.
That is very Jeffrey Dahmer.
Now, once again, he waited a long time, so it's unknown if he sexually assaulted this woman. It was assumed if he did.
Yeah.
As apparently Alan had indicated that from what he'd spoken to with Leonard. The remains of the three women were found without clothes.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's reasonable to assume that that had happened.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at this point, they actually didn't locate the body of Natasha Ryan. Although we haven't found the body of Natasha Ryan, I can tell you what we know about the murders of Julie Turner and Beverly Lego.
Yeah.
Now, we know slightly less about them than we do about Sylvia Benedetti. So it's the early morning of Monday, the 28th of December, 1998. So maybe four-ish months before Kira.
Yep.
Julie Turner left the Airport Liberties nightclub in Rockhampton. Now, it is believed that Leonard, who had previously known Julie because he'd helped to get out of some domestic violence situation, offered to give her a lift. An argument occurred within that car, believed to be her rejection of his sexual advances, and he struck her before driving her to a vacant lot and strangling her with her own bra.
Oh, God.
Now, one of the reasons we know that Alan's information is correct is because there are specifics like, I strangled her with her bra. I did all these kind of things. Like, that's why we know they're so correct.
They would leave, like, pretty specific ligature marks, right?
I think it was still around her neck as well.
Oh, no way. Okay. Jeez, okay.
So he then dumped her body in the Nankin Creek area, yeah, which is about 30 minutes from Rockhampton. Okay. So a similar area to where Kira was found.
Yeah.
Now, we don't actually know the date of death for Beverly Lego. So she was likely killed in early March 1999, so likely after Kira. Just before Kira. So 1 month before Kira.
After Beverly, before Kira. After
Beverly, yeah, before Kira.
Yeah.
So she was last seen on the 1st of March 1999 around 10:30 a.m. when she attended the Bank of Queensland. She was wanting to see a manager and they said, come back in about an hour. And she was like, yep, no worries, but she never returned. So she withdrew money from her account on that same day, but otherwise we don't know anything. But we do know that Beverly and Leonard knew each other.
Mm.
So that's all we really know. Her remains were found in December 2000, as we said. They were found on the ground, covered in lantana, which is like a sort of low-lying bush, unclothed in bushland in Nankin Creek.
So same place. A year or so later.
Yep. No, well, from Beverly would have been three or so months. No, so
her body was found about a year later from her presumed time of death.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Right.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was
so they only found her because of Alan's information.
Mm. Oh, okay. But it was only a couple of months after Beverly.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So is Nankin Creek like his hunting ground?
Was that
his
dumping
ground?
I think so. I think it's one of the areas he would do it. What they found,
December 2000. So no, if it was March 99, it would have been a year and 9 months later. But that was exactly as you said. He was in jail and he drew these fucking maps and all that. Okay.
So in the facial area of her skull, there was significant damage. She had, once again, similar bra and black underwear tied around her neck like a ligature.
Okay.
So the coroner determined her cause of death was both the strangulation and the head trauma. Now, with this, Leonard's version changes as to what happened with her death. He says she's hitchhiking or he met her at a shopping center, but like general details are the same. He dumps a handbag in a river, he strangles her, dumps her. But like we don't really know anything other than that. They're the only details, unfortunately, that we know.
Is there something to be said for the fact that he murdered them with their own bra and, in this case, underwear? Like is there some sort of sexual... Or is it just that's what he had on offer?
Yeah, like a crime of opportunity kind of thing.
Is it? Do you reckon?
I actually don't know.
You don't know?
But to me, like, once again, I'm not a killer.
No.
But stop saying it.
You are saying that entirely too much.
But killing someone with, like, their undergarments in a way, like, right? So you strangle someone and then you basically throw them in a hole with their bra around their neck, like, to me, that's just, like, this is their fun, like, it's just, like, but whatever, like, there's no,
emotional connection to what you've just done. You've just strangled them and...
Anyway, send us a DM, guys. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Your opinion matters to us.
Not to our channel, though. We're about plants.
Yeah, they're about plants. But we're about murder, and we have just talked about before. Let's remember, we've just talked about Beverly Lego. But we obviously haven't spoken about Natasha Ryan. So in jail, Leonard has detailed the murder of Natasha, including the disposal of her body, although he does say, once again, the disposal is at two different locations, which Leonard is known for. He gives a detailed confession about how he stabbed her, stating it was because she was pregnant with his child and he didn't want it. He then buried her body in a grave on a property near Rockhampton, but obviously gave different locations for that. Independent witnesses, did say they had seen them together. And therefore, police are like, there may not be a body, but we have sufficient evidence to charge you. Fucksticks, once again, are going to fuckstick. And he's trying for the insanity defense, but he's now realizing perhaps that might not fly.
Yeah, fair.
So you know who makes an appearance back in our story?
Squeaky.
Squeaky. Squeaky. So this kind of like friend, alter ego, don't want to do time for my crimes kind of character. He said he committed the murders and then forced poor Leonard to dump the bodies for him. That's why he knows where the burial sites are. Because, like, meh, poor Leonard. He just dumped them for Squeaky. So he becomes more of a fuckstick now. He decides to make a press release from Squeaky confessing to the murder. So they know he's... So he pretends that he's Squeaky.
No, what do you mean by that?
So he writes a letter to media being like, I am Squeaky, but...
No, but
not from Leonard John Fraser.
So he doesn't read it out as Squeaky.
No, he sends this to the...
He writes it.
He writes it and he says, I am Squeaky, not Leonard John Fraser.
So where the fuck is Squeaky amongst all of this?
So he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm aware of that, but where does Leonard...
Oh, wait, he's actually not real?
No.
Squeaky does not fucking exist. No, Squeaky is a big pile of shit.
Welcome to episode one, Brendan.
Yeah. Sorry, James has bumped the microphone.
Previously on the TV.
No, so hang on. He writes a thing from jail
saying,
a press release.
Saying, hi, media, I am Squeaky, I did all this shit. But that he's in jail, like, that shit's trapped.
So the warden's like,
Yeah. So, and in that time, he releases information about the original crime scenes that only the killer would know. So they had, in the media, only said, these victims were strangled. End of conversation. He's written, I strangled them with their bra. Yeah. I strangled them with their underwear. So they're like, all right.
But surely they know it's been written by him because they're checking his mail.
Exactly. So they're like, write what you want, champ. We're just going to add that to the brief of evidence.
So I'm going to go back to what we were saying before. We're giving him far too much credibility. We're giving him far too much evidence.
Yes, he's a dickhead. So based on the wiretaps, Alan's information and everything we've spoken about, police now are like, we have enough evidence to charge him with the four murders. So that's of Natasha Ryan, Beverly Lego, Julia Turner and Sylvia Benedetti.
Yeah.
So it's April 2003 and Leonard is now on trial for the murders of the four women. This is the biggest trial at this point in Queensland's history.
Wow.
But then a fucking bombshell drops that forces the entire trial to stop in his tracks. This whole thing will put this whole case in jeopardy. Natasha Ryan shows up alive and well.
What?
Alive and fucking kicking.
Hang on, he admitted to stabbing her, right?
He did. She's not dead.
What?
Yep. What? She's not dead.
What?
So during the trial, police received an anonymous note saying Natasha is alive.
No.
And here's a phone number. So they tracked the phone number to a house in Frenchville, which is a suburb.
He murdered somebody that wasn't Natasha Ryan. Sorry to interrupt.
He just bullshitted. So the number is tracked to a house in Frenchville, which is a suburb of Rockhampton. She hadn't gone far. She was, I think, within like blocks of her parents' house, like so close. So she's alive. Like, can you imagine being that parent and thinking, my daughter was blocks away?
Yeah, but she was taken by Leonard John Fraser.
Well, yeah, at that time they had a memorial service, they had a proper funeral, they had accepted completely because and fully
she was,
that their young daughter had been killed at the hands of this violent man.
Yeah, because Leonard John Fraser admitted to murdering her.
And like in very specific details as well, like with a map and like, I stabbed her, I did this, this
so
is
how
where
did she end
is.
Up alive?
So she apparently
he did not kill her?
He did not kill her. So apparently what she says, I watched an interview with her, was that she ran away to her boyfriend's house after an argument with a teacher.
Okay.
So from what I could see by her interviews and the information I got, her running away was consensual. But she, once again, she was 14, so
yeah.
Consent at 14 but years not old. To, like,
her boyfriend wasn't Leonard John Fraser, though.
No, he was just the guy she'd been dating for. Okay. Everyone knew him as her boyfriend at that point in time. So it wasn't Leonard John Fraser.
But this was also 5 years before.
Yeah. And she'd been there the whole time.
So she'd been at her boyfriend's for 5 years.
Yeah, they'd moved around a lot in what she said was an effort to not be detected. So people wouldn't find her. We are speculating based on words she said.
Yeah.
It may be that she was forced from the interviews. Like she says it wasn't, but we weren't there. We can't comment on that.
Okay.
But for 5 years, she was within a very small distance of her mother.
Okay.
And never had any interaction with Leonard John Fraser whatsoever.
And she wasn't being influenced by a boyfriend.
From what I saw an interview with her.
Yeah.
And that's the word she uses.
She was just trying to avoid.
Who knows domestic violence? We know what domestic violence is, so okay. It could be different. But yeah. That's what she says to us in the interview.
So how is Leonard Fraser involved in this?
Not.
What do you mean?
Not involved whatsoever.
You know, yeah. I wonder if she was like so persistent in running away and starting a new life and all that sort of stuff, it could have been something as simple as she's thrown her wallet away in the event of like, I'm disappearing and someone's picked that up thinking, oh, great, I've got a fake ID. And then, so in actual fact, in Fraser's mind, he thinks he has killed her because this person with the...
Or does he like the attention?
Holy shit. No, right. But he's murdered somebody else.
So was the somebody else, there a body ever found under that name?
I don't know. But you know what's interesting
to
me?
You would think that it would have been brought up with the immediate attention, you would have thought. But
yeah, but imagine in his mind, he's saying, hang on a sec, I fucking killed someone.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the
perhaps
person.
Perhaps he's killed somebody who police never found.
Right.
And whose parents or family and who never reported.
Or perhaps whose name he did not know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no. He would have known because he's got the ID.
No, but I mean the woman he actually did kill, he doesn't know her name, but he's gone, oh, it's Natasha Ryan.
Why would he?
Because they have her wallet.
Well,
they've got their wallet.
But at the time, Natasha Ryan may have been on the news and
their parents are missing. If he's picked up the wallet, and because the amount of people that go missing every fucking day, every year, every week, whatever, like...
So anyway, he's obviously found not guilty of her murder. Thankfully, the remaining charges stand.
Good.
They stand. And apparently in court, he always wore the same thing. White pants, white shirt, white shoes, basically a cult leader.
White shoes?
Yeah.
That's so 90s.
He even faked a heart attack at one point to get sympathy.
Heard that before.
Yeah. And obviously our old mate, Alan, is a star witness here. He gives all the evidence. Yeah, and the trial kind of sucked because the families had to hear the recordings of how blasé Leonard was about everything and what a piece of trash he was. And apparently, he would go from very disinterested in what was happening into like fits of rage, similar to what he did at school.
Leonard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it took the jury less than 24 hours to hand down that verdict. And they found he was guilty for the murder of Sylvia Benedetti and Beverly Lego. And the manslaughter of Julie Turner, because they're not sure if he intended to murder her. So, like, better manslaughter than nothing.
Yeah.
But it was still 3 life sentences without parole. So now we're sitting on a total of 4 life sentences without parole.
Yeah.
So you're in jail forever. And the judge described him as an untreatable psychopath.
No fucking shit. We could have told you that in 1978.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he is the first convicted serial killer in Queensland history.
Well done. Not the last.
But you want to know some serious motherfucking bullshit?
Mm. He's already out.
He had a heart attack just 4 years later and died.
Oh, already dead.
So he just spent 4 years in jail for the murder of those women.
And he wouldn't
that
have been
That is it. He should have endured his entire life until he was like 99 and then died.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, despite the fact, police believe he may have, as we've suspected, murdered many, many, many more, but took their names to the grave. So police believe there's a recording with Alan and there's information that can't be released in that recording, obviously because of policey shit. But the basic information that we can gather they would release was that they believe he may have murdered 3 hitchhikers in northern Queensland, one believed to be Sandy Lawrence. He stated on that listening device that he had returned at a later date to where he had dumped them, and it was skeletal remains by that point, and they were still intact. He also stated he murdered his 17-year-old Indigenous girlfriend when he lived in King's Cross by slitting her throat.
Well, that's the same as Kira.
Yeah,
same MO.
Mm.
Exactly, and it's King's Cross, Indigenous.
Yeah, they don't give a
back in the day, yeah. Nothing happened in these confessions. They weren't, yeah. Police also believed he killed Rockhampton woman Michelle Coral Lewis, who was 21. He was known to
So we're going to Rockhampton, which is the original site of his murders. So yes. 70s.
So he was known to frequent that area where she went missing because he would visit the gravesite of his dog there. Oh, guys,
sounds nice.
Warning. Yeah. It's not nice. He killed that dog.
Oh, fuck him.
After raping it.
Oh, dear. What?
This is how, like, this, I'm like, no, I want to kill you. Like, I would kill you. Anyway, finally, we've also got those three ponytails that were found in his house in the murder, never been linked to anybody. So none of those victims that we know that we potentially think are linked, they were not linked to those ponytails. And they were all different colours of hair, different textures, yet none of the victims. And some of them, like, which I don't know, I find really messed up. They still had like the scrunchies attached kind of thing. Like, so he just cut like above the scrunchie or above the hair tie. And I was like, oh, I don't like that.
That's such a deliberate choice of
I'm keeping the scrunchie or the hair tie. And police obviously believe they were trophies. So obviously because of that, I think we assume way more murders. At least more than four. Like, I think maybe over 10 is where I'm sitting because we had those periods of years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking at least over 10. So that's all 10.
He's been, like, that is the extent of it. So those motherfucker four. Died.
Well, because he probably died with those names. So he was fuck only stick, in jail for fucking fuck 4 years.
Oh, Jesus. So Fuckstick McFuckstick, like, croaks it and he's out of the picture. And now all we're left with is...
maybes.
Questions, except for, well, we know that there's at least three because of the ponytails.
At least three of the ponytails, yes.
Oh, geez.
I would like to know if there was said, any like, unknown DNA in the car. I would like, I couldn't find that, but I'd like to know if there was any like unknown
but
DNA.
But as you said, 99. Not particularly.
Still good though, like a little bit good. After, but not perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
today. Were they retested? Like, what would have happened with that? Like, could they have retested in later years?
We should look into that. Could they retest?
But I would have assumed they would have if they could have, and they would have released that. I don't know. I would have assumed you would have researched this, Alice.
Anyway, so we would love for everybody's opinions. We always say give us opinions and you guys don't fucking do shit.
Please do.
So give us your opinions because obviously we've talked about, like, we've got on a few tangents about, like, the details of psychopathy. We would especially love to hear about, like, if there's any...
Don't worry, we cut your shit out.
Yeah, if there's any, like, forensic experts, like... Especially,
very, very passionate.
I guess I'll stop.
No, you keep going. We love you.
No, but like if there's any forensic experts or there's psychologists out there, even if you don't specialise in forensic psychology, I'm sure you know about
more
this
about
stuff.
This case that you've heard of, if you've been about, like the amount
give
of
us,
times.
We'll talk about it in a shit chat. That's like right. We would love to hear.
Not even a shit chat. We'll fucking do it. If there's enough, we'll fucking give another part three.
Yeah.
Because with the Catherine Knight, with Natasha Beth Darcy, with Seth Gonzalez, like, I've had enough people that won't go on record. But, like...
But who knew those people?
They knew those people. They were intimately involved, and they were, like, throwing me these little anecdotes. And I was like, oh, that's really bloody cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, so, yeah, hit us up, and we'd love to, like, go on the record with this kind of stuff
as
well.
Yeah, we won't say your name and your date of birth and your address. Like, we'll just say somebody...
We'll just give that to Optus.
You don't
get that because you don't read the news. Yeah, I'm just fucked up a whole bunch of...
They just give it out.
Yeah. Well, anyway, point is, please get in contact with us. We hope you enjoyed our episode with the lovely Tom and Brendan.
And we're going to give them the last say because we're going
to
go back.
Like to...
We're going to go back in the container.
Yeah, we're going
to
go back. Oh, no, nothing? Nothing?
There's no room in the container for Alice and James. I would just say Tom bought everything to go in there.
Well, I'm pretty sure you went home with the wicker baskets.
You bought 700 wicker baskets.
Yes. Yes. Very lovely wicker
the
baskets.
The birdcage.
It's nice.
And a birdcage. There's no bird.
I don't have a bird.
Listen, the birdcage is wooden and it's been moulded by
you
some...
You didn't know it was wooden when you bought it.
It was very light.
A very light metal.
It's beautiful. It goes on my nana's coffee table. Lovely.
Anyway.
Check out Better Homes and Farmers. You'll see it.
I'm glad the fucker is dead.
Yeah.
Wait. Yep. Wait, my bird for my bird cage.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. His name was probably fucking Leonard.
Leonard John Fraser.
Fucking a bird called Leonard.
No. What?
All right, we're diving.
Rest in peace, Leonard John Fraser. You're a piece of shit. You fucking fuckwit. Fuck stick. Think?
Yep.
Whoop, motherfuckers.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
See you later.
Whoop.
Boy.